The Tom Woods Show, episode 635.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. What a treat this episode is. It's an honor and a delight to be joined today by legendary entrepreneur T. Harv Eker. He is the number one New York Times best-selling author of Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, which has been translated into 42 languages. He's also the author of the brand new book Speed Wealth, How to Stop Earning a Living and Start Creating Wealth. He's giving that book away for free, and I've got a link to it on today's show notes page, tomwoods.com/635. Harv Eker started one of the first retail fitness stores in North America and eventually had a whole chain of them, and then went on to launch one of the most successful success training companies in the world. What some have called his tough love style has helped change the lives of over 1.5 million people around the world. Harv Eker, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's been a real pleasure reading your Secrets of the Millionaire Mind book and then also your Speed Wealth book, which you're giving away. I'll just say we'll get to this a little bit later. But when I was looking at that, at first I thought, okay, these are going to be very, very basic ideas. But after about the first third of it, you're throwing out business suggestions left and right. It's very practical, very helpful. You're giving the thing away. So I'm going to link to that on our show notes page for today. This is episode 635. So that'll be tomwoods.com/635. A lot of people in my audience are familiar with you, but not everybody knows your story. You probably told it a million times, but doggone it, I'm going to ask you anyway. You went from zero to multimillionaire, and it did not happen overnight. Something happened. Was it you got some tremendous opportunity, or you had a change in mindset, or you learned? What was it that took you from one level to the other?
Well, you know, my great uncle died and left me $1 million, so that's about it. You have any other questions?
I figured it had to be something like, how else do people well, succeed, right?
I'm only kidding around. You know, like many people, I struggled early on. My parents, you know, they came over from Europe, and they came with basically the proverbial nothing. And what I learned when I was a kid was that money meant survival. It wasn't about fancy cars and jewelry and diamonds. It's just if you had a lot of money, you lived. If you didn't have money, you died. So all I wanted to be was a millionaire, and I didn't even know what it was. And so I even actually left university early, college, after the first year because I wasn't rich yet. And I was pretty sure that I was going to be rich very, very quickly. And I spent the next decade, 10 years, literally almost destitute, completely broke. I went through 12 different jobs and 14 different businesses, if you can believe that, all during that time. And there were many, 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 far too many nights where I had to choose between putting $5 of gas in my car for the next day to get around or eating dinner that night. And I had to choose the gas. And you know, I was never homeless. I was never bankrupt, but about as close as you could get. Finally, I ended up meeting a very, very wealthy man who was a friend of my father's. And he, you know, he gave me some advice. And he said, Harv, he says, all I can say to you is that if you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, all that means is there's something you don't know. And then being a brash young man, I thought I knew everything, but he was right. And I wasn't doing anything else except for collecting unemployment. And that was running out. So I actually spent the next 6 months just studying rich people, and especially rich business people, because that's how I wanted to do it. And I came up with some commonalities, literally 7 specific principles. And I went back to show him, and he kicked me out of his office. And he said, what are you showing me for? He says, show the world, put it to the test. So I did. And I borrowed $2,000 from my Visa card. And 2.5 years later, I was a millionaire. And so, yeah, I mean, it can definitely happen. And, but you know, in my book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, I say, every master was once a disaster. And I can tell you, I was certainly a disaster. But the funny thing, Thomas, is that I thought I was doing everything right. And that's the insidious thing about all of this, isn't it? It's just that, you know, we're struggling. We're not doing as well as we'd like to be doing. We're not reaching our potential. We're not as happy as we'd like. We're not as rich as we'd like. That we think we're doing the right things, and the result isn't there. And so what I found out is that I wasn't doing the right thing. I was going to all the seminars. I was listening to all the, in those days, tapes and all the books, but it wasn't working. And it wasn't until I started putting my own these principles into play that the things started shifting, and thank God have stayed shifted.
Is there a particular entrepreneurial failure that you had that you maybe learned the most from?
Plenty. And that's what my webinar is all about. The difference between what I did when I was broke versus, you know, when I got rich and stayed rich. But I would say probably for a lot of people, here's what happened for me. I would start a business, and it was a small business. I didn't have a lot of money. So I'd start a small business. And again, I was in many, many, many of them. And I remember, here's a good example. I was involved in these novelty hats, and they had all, and maybe you've seen them. They had all of these different kind of stuffed animals on the hat, like an alligator or a,
oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I was the first distributor in America for those. So, you know, I would go to colleges and try to sell the bulldogs and alligators and all these different and helicopter things. And, you know, it was going not bad, not amazing, but not terrible. A friend of mine says to me, he says, "Hey, I just got some shipments of these watches, these pen watches that have just come in from China. And they're amazing. There's a pen and there's a watch in the end of it. It's a digital watch. It's incredible." He says, "You're going around the city anyways, the whole state really. And you're, you know, driving around with these hats. Why don't you take the pens with you? And hey, show those too. Stop at these other places." I said, "Oh, that's a heck of a good idea." So I got in the pen watch business. And I started doing fairs and all kinds of. And, you know, literally I was doing not bad. A month later, someone shows me this t-shirt line, blah, blah, blah. Make a long story short, literally within 4 months, I was in four different businesses and the whole thing crashed. And I thought, in my mind, I felt that the more the merrier, that if I could, you know, always, you know, have more, an additional business, an additional source of income, an additional way of making money, and especially a backstop in case something didn't work out, that I always had something, I would do better. But I was wrong, because what I learned was focus wins. Focus, it is. Thomas, and everybody listen, it is, I would think you might agree, hard enough to be highly successful in one thing, let alone two, three, or four things. And so I learned the power of focus. And, you know, as you know, I opened one of the largest training companies in the world. And I can't, and you know, when you're training 5,000 people at once, literally every weekend, yeah, there's a lot of people that come up to you at the breaks and they've got an opportunity for you, this, that, and you know what? I went completely the opposite way, to where anything that was looked like an opportunity that would take me anything different than what I was doing, the training company, I just told my secretary, you know, "You can put this in the special file, which is the trash bin. Yeah, I don't care what it is." Well, but I saw this. I don't care. That made me broke, that way of thinking. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. I want to talk about some items in your secrets book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, because as I told you, I sent out an email to my list about this book and some of the insights in it. I put it on my blog, and my listeners, of course, they love it. They know exactly what you're saying, but the way you're saying it, and frankly, what you're saying is a little bit politically incorrect, because the politically correct version is people are poor because of circumstances beyond their control, and they're all victims, and all we can do is pity them. Whereas wealthy people get that way because they accidentally happen to meet somebody who opened a door for them. I mean, we all know that. And you are not having any of that in this book. What you're saying is not that every single rich person thinks a particular way and every single poor person thinks a particular way, but that there is an identifiable mentality that we can see among successful people, and that we can – there's another one that we can see among people who are not so successful. Now, when that book came out, did you get a lot of pushback because of what you were saying?
You know, of course, I speak to my own choir as well. But, you know, no, I didn't get a lot of pushback from the media. I did, like, for, you know, the example, every TV show or every news show that I went on, and even most radio shows, they would say, you know, be very, very skeptical about it and talk about the things you're talking about. But from the regular folk out there, no, they related to it, because what they're doing isn't working. And what most people – listen, if what the general public and what the media and the government will have you believe worked, everybody would be rich. Most people are broke. That's because of them. That's because they put this, express this way of being, this culture that, you know, the government will take care of you and Big Brother will take care of you and the corporation will take care of you. And yeah, they will. If you want to be broke, you want to live like a pauper, you can depend on them. But if you want to be rich and you want to do well for yourself, you have to take responsibility for that and make something of yourself and do good at something. And the government is not going to do that for you, and no corporation is going to do that for you. One thing you were just talking about is something that I call accountability. You know, you have to believe that I create my life and I create my success and I create my unsuccess. You know, certainly, you know, situations and circumstances are going to have an effect, but then it's how you respond to those situations and circumstances that will determine the outcome. So literally, I'm not saying that you're going to play God or anything, but at the same time, why would you want to be a weakling and be at the mercy of everyone else? And I think that one of the biggest things I teach when I go overseas, especially places like former communist places like, you know, Poland and even places like Spain and Italy, where it's a completely, you know, it's a different way of thinking. And I say, you know, when you're in Europe especially, and in some of these other places, and you're a kid and you're 10 years old, and someone asks you what you want to be when you grow up, and you say, you know, you say, well, I want to be a millionaire. They look at you like, what is the matter with you? Are you out of your mind? Are you sick? You know, who taught you this? You know, you need to get. And then in America, not now anymore, unfortunately, but when I grew up and for the, you know, 10 years previous to now, it was like, I want to be a million. Little Johnny says, I want to be a millionaire. Good for you. Good for you. You can do it. You know, you can. And what's the difference in America in those days, especially, and Europe and a lot of these other communist type of places? It's that these places have thousands of years of culture of being brainwashed to be broke. Why is that? Because the people in power, so that kings, the royalty, didn't want to have competition. And the only way anybody could compete with them and usurp their power was to be rich and have resources. And so they made sure that they put out the idea that it's good to be poor so that everybody would stay poor. And not try and overtake them, and yet people are still buying this crap.
You know, I love one of the parts in your book where somebody comes up to you and says, "You know, Harv, I don't think I can wrap my head around this idea of getting wealthy when there are so many people who have so little." And you said to the guy, "How are you helping the poor by staying broke? How about you get rich and you help those people? It's either that or you stay broke and you don't help anybody."
Well, you hit it. I mean, there's many, many reasons. I mean,
come on.
Yeah, the New York Times called me a financial evangelist, you know, and I'll take that moniker with.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
they could have called you a lot worse than that.
Yeah, I'll take that with honor, actually, because I believe in getting rich. I believe it's a lot better to be rich than poor. And people say, it's really hard to get rich. I go, well, it's really hard to be broke. Who wants to be broke? That's a harder way to live. My God. You know, and you know, so why get rich? Very simple. Number one, your lifestyle and the people that you care about's lifestyle. And I'm not going to get into all that, but it's very obvious. Number two, contribution. I believe, Thomas, that if you have the wherewithal to get rich and be successful, it is your duty, your dharma to do so. Why? So that you can help the people that will not ever have that wherewithal. And listen, if you're living in a free country, if you're living in North America, especially, if you're living in a lot of places where you have an opportunity, you have the wherewithal to get rich, where a lot of people in other parts of the world, they actually, as much as we want to talk about accountability, it is way, a million times harder for someone in a small village in the middle of Africa who can barely eat and has no running water whatsoever to get rich, okay? Just deal with that. And you don't have that problem. People say, oh, the man is putting me down. The rich people are holding me back. You know what? I was broke. I never had a rich person hold me back. I never had a rich person grab me by the throat and say, okay, you're going to stay broke. In fact, you know what? Just the opposite. Every rich person I met said, how can I help you? How can I help you succeed? What can I do for you? I thought rich people were jerks. What I found out was they're actually the nicest people I ever met. And take that.
I want to add, I want to throw out one of these ideas from your book that I kind of reworked one of them because it resonates with me. Because in your book, you say rich people, blah, 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 whereas poor and middle class people, you know, do something else. I think one of them's got to be rich people make things happen and poor and middle class people wait for things to happen to them. And I say that because that's where I was not too long ago. I would look at, you know, I was making a decent income. I was a college professor. And I thought, well, I guess my path in the, toward the future, toward greater wealth, is waiting till I get a promotion. And then I'll get, you know, a 6% raise. And that was really, that was my financial plan. Whereas I realize now that there are so many, especially in the age of the internet, there are so many opportunities that if you, that aren't going to be, no one's going to knock on your door and give it to you. You have to grab them. You have to think about them. You have to come up with them. Whereas so many people, in fact, I even know a guy of very limited means, and his entire financial plan for becoming financially stable is to try to win the lottery. Like this is a sickness. Like it has to be, it can't be smashed down hard enough. Now, let me ask you the traditional sort of objection, though. We've already dealt a little bit with it, but what about people who say the poor, they don't have – look, they don't have the business know-how that you have, and they don't have the money to get started that you have. So, you know, really, it seems like you're just badgering them when they really have no choice but to be where they are. What would you say to that?
Well, I was that. I mean, I had no – what do you think? I was born with business knowledge? Yeah, I came out of the womb going, oh yeah, the strategic way to systemize and duplicate is to, no, I didn't know anything. Every master was once a disaster. Everybody who's successful at something now was once terrible at it. Everybody who knows everything about something now knew at one point nothing about it. What does that mean? I mean, the idea is very simple. You can learn your way to anything. You can learn how to play piano. You can learn how to golf. You can learn to do business. You can learn how to create wealth and take care of money. This is a learning proposition. There's only two things that are important in the I can boil, and this is one of the things I talk about in my webinar, is that I can boil, I like to keep things simple. Why? Because again, I didn't finish college, so complicated things don't work for me. Okay. So you can boil it down to two simple ideas, two simple words that will allow you to be successful at anything. Hopefully, would everybody like to know the two words? Very simple. Number one, learn. Number two, do what you learned. Then learn some more, then do what you learn. Learn, do, learn, do, learn, do, learn, do. It is that simple. And you can be successful at anything. Now, some people go, well, I'm 5'3". I'm not going to be as successful as a basketball player. Okay, fine. You win. Argue for your limitations and they're yours. Don't be ridiculous. We're talking about success financially. You know what's very interesting? Is that I find, and I'm not sure if you notice this as well, but especially in certain metropolitan cities, especially where, you know, when you have newcomers, quote unquote, immigrants come to the country, especially Asians and Indians and whatnot. And if you notice, like, who's in all the 7-Elevens and who's in the dry cleaners? And I'm not trying to be, talk about certain races, whatever. But to the contrary, if you notice, these people come up, many of them come with nothing. They start and they work their buns off and the whole family works, whatever. And literally, you know, several years later, they've got pretty well everything. So don't talk to me about getting, I don't know what to do. Learn what to do. I don't have the money. I started every single one of my businesses with zero. And when you hear me teach, you'll always hear me say, start with almost nothing. Even if you have the money, start with nothing. Why? Because money is a really, really bad way to, it's a real bad thing when it comes to covering up problems. When you start with things, I believe in starting things small and organically. Why? Because you know what? Usually at the beginning of things, you're going to mess up. Why would you want to mess up with hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line? I wouldn't. So I teach all of my students, start with very little money, test with very little money. Well, how do you do that? You learn how do you do that. That's what we teach. You learn how to do everything.
What about these statistics about 80% of businesses fail in the first 3 years? That probably scares people away.
Yeah, 80% of people don't know what they're doing, fail. That's why I say start small. So here's the thing. It's true that 80% of all new businesses fail within the first 5 years. However, here's something that everybody could learn, hopefully. 67% of all businesses that are started by someone who was already in that business and created a new niche within that business's succeed.
That is a very interesting statistic.
So what does that mean? It means learn first. Go to school on somebody else. Get in, if I'm going to open a business today, the first thing I'm going to do is decide what business that is, kind of, sort of, with some room, okay? Then I'm going to go get a job in that business, and I'm going to go to work for somebody else for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it takes. I'm going to learn every – I might even go work for two companies in that situation in different capacities. Then I'm going to start my business, and I'm going to start very small. And I'm going to start a niche that isn't being covered by the businesses I was in. That way I know people want it. Why should I try to figure that out? And number two, they've been asking for it. They just weren't able to get it with the old company. So I'm going to provide it. That's all.
Smart. Well, in your at tomwoods.com/635, I'll have a link to Speed Wealth. I've also got it as tomwoods.com/speedwealth, all one word. This is your ebook that you're giving away for free. Subtitle is How to Stop Earning a Living and Start Creating Wealth. It's a great subtitle. And in there, relatively short ebook, under 100 pages, it actually goes into a surprising degree of detail of exactly what your battle plan is, especially if you're really shooting for the stars. If you're not just saying, well, I'll start this business so that maybe I can be financially comfortable. No. Aim for the stars, and maybe, as you say, you'll only hit the moon, but at least aim for the stars. You're already planning for people to be really successful. And so if you should plan for a business that could ultimately be sold one day. You should be thinking about, how can I run this business so that it doesn't require my physical presence 24 hours a day? Because that also will limit my income, because I can only be around for 24 hours a day.
That's right. If you're the cog in the wheel, the major cog, you're now the major clog in the wheel. And that's probably the biggest distinction that I can make for people in that book. It's the understanding is that if you have to be there in order for the value, your value to be delivered, whatever you're providing for people, then you're stuck. You got a problem, because you're going to limit the amount of quantity that can be purchased from you. If you limit the amount of quantity, you'll limit the amount of money you can earn. So you've got to, everyone, listen closely. Whatever you're doing, you've got to be able to systemize that whatever that value is, so that it can be delivered without you. So it can be delivered without you being there. So that value can be there without you. What that means is that business needs to work without you, and the value needs to work, instead of you. So people who are in personal service companies, they've got to, I love having them, because they've all got the same problem. Their business might grow, but it gets to a point where they can't do anymore and they're stuck because they didn't systemize the way that the value is being delivered. Once you do that, you can now be free to, number one, work on your business, and number two, duplicate what you're doing with an unlimited amount. And when it's unlimited, you can create wealth. When it's limited, you can earn a decent living.
I want you to tell us a little bit about what you're going to be teaching this coming Tuesday. It's April 12th, 2016. You've got four sessions, so that there'll be at least one that everybody can fit into their schedules. You're going to be teaching through a free webinar, and I've got a special link for it, shortcut link, tomwoods.com/harv. What are people going to learn there?
They're going to learn my real experience. You see, as I said earlier, I was broke. I was broke for 10 long, long years, like really broke. And as I said earlier, I thought I was doing everything right. It just wasn't working. When I finally became a millionaire, and now a multi, and I can go on for a few minutes there, millionaire. Everyone started asking, so Harv, what was the biggest differences between when you were broke and you thought you knew what you were doing and you thought you were doing everything right to when you actually became wealthy and have kept your wealth? And so many people asked that question that I decided to put in a webinar, and there's very specific things, actually six very specific principles that for me made the biggest difference between when I was broke and when I became rich. And so literally, I think for me, the feedback that I've gotten on this specific webinar is probably the most, let's call it appreciative that I've ever had on anything. And I've got a lot of programs. And so, because people, I can say this, it's unbelievable to me now, because hindsight's 2020, that I would say 95% or 99% of the people that listen to these six principles, you're going to recognize yourself in the broke one. You're going to find yourself, oh my God, I do that. And I think, and I thought that's the way to go. Yeah, it is if you want to stay broke or moderate, but if you want to get rich, it's not the way to go. And so I really give that very, very specific distinction between this is what I did when I was broke, and this is what I do now that I'm rich and I've kept my money and grown it. And you need to know that difference. And so if someone just wants to, you know, make a decent living, fine, that's nice. But I like to teach people how to get rich. Because as you said earlier, if you shoot for the stars, you'll at least hit the moon. I like to say to people, hey, there's nothing wrong with a $20, $30, $40 million net worth. And if you really fail and you end up with $3 to $5 million, okay, sorry, I feel bad for you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But listen, I'll show you how to do the $20, $30, $50 million net worth. And you'll say, no, that's too much work. I said earlier, everyone, it's way too much work to be broke than it is to rich. If you do what I teach you to do, everyone, you're going to work hard, but only for a short time. And if you don't do what I talk about, you're going to work hard for a long time and make very little.
You know, and I see the sense in that. That sounds like a paradox, but there is tremendous sense in that. And I'm sure some listeners kind of get it, but they'll really get it if they attend that webinar. I'm going to be there. I'm definitely going. I could listen to you all day. So that's a no question about it. I'm going to be there. I'll figure out which one of those.
I wish my wife said that.
Well, we all wish that. Right? But I'll pick one of those times. I'm definitely going to be there. TomWoods.com/Harv. I'm telling you, I want you to put, if you're driving while you're listening to this, I want you to pull over, go to TomWoods.com/Harv and sign up for this thing because this is a tremendous opportunity. It's Tuesday the 12th, to be able to be taught, sit at the feet of T. Harv Eker is a tremendous opportunity. I'm certainly going to do it, and I hope to see you guys there as well. Harv, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the fact that you're letting me call you Harv and you haven't objected. I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, everybody. When you have the opportunity to learn from somebody like T. Harv Eker, to sit there and listen to somebody like this, you take that opportunity. So check it out. Shortcut is TomWoods.com/Harv, H-A-R-V. As I said, I am certainly going to be there, and I know I'm going to walk away with something valuable. So TomWoods.com/Harv. I want a big, big contingent of Tom Woods Show listeners there. This guy's message is entirely compatible with what we believe. In fact, before we went on, we were talking about that. He wanted to know a little bit more about the show. And so I said, you know, what you're saying about wealth creation and about excuse factories for why I don't have wealth. Well, you know, only crooks can get wealth and the rich are all crooks and the deck is stacked against me and it's impossible to start a business and all that. Forget all that. And forget about, you know, living your life waiting for the government to bail you out or help you out or whatever. You're never going to be successful if you have that kind of mentality. So, you know, I was saying to him, you know, what you have to say is going to be music to the ears of everybody who listens to this show. So definitely check him out. He's got a lot to teach you. TomWoods.com/Harv. Tomorrow on the show, it's another debate episode. We haven't done that in a while. And this time we're debating the subject of Donald Trump, because that subject has come up. There's a group called Libertarians for Trump. So we're going to have somebody from that group and somebody who is, shall we say, not from that group, and they're going to go at it tomorrow right here on the show. Thanks for listening. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.